Holos Rusinil Amerika.
Dobrý večer, dámy a pánové, i vítajte na reláciu Holos Rusinil Amerika. Prichodíme k vám každú nedíľu na stanicu Rusin FM, vaše rusinské rádio, o 5.4. hodine u Pittsburghu a 5.10. hodine u Priašovi. Ja jem Dean Polovka a dneska je nedíľa 8. maja 2022. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holos Rusinil Amerika, Voice of Russians in America, the Carpatho Russian Society Heritage Program, brought to you each and every Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 p.m. Central European Time, here on Russin FM, your Russin radio station. Archived on our media page, c-rsmedia.org. I am your host, Dean Poloka, and today is Sunday, May 8th, 2022. Today we have a very special guest, John Righetti, president of the Carpatho Russian Society. Interview with him in just a couple of minutes. Today is Mother's Day, and I would like to wish all the mothers, all the grandmothers, great-grandmothers, all of the godmothers and maternal-like figures a very happy Mother's Day. Special happy Mother's Day goes out to my wife, Carrie Poloka. Happy Mother's Day. We love you from Nick, Michaela, and myself. And also happy Mother's Day to my sisters, Beth and Sue Ann, and my sister-in-law, Marion. For everyone, all the mothers, we start today's broadcast with honoring the mother of us all, the mother of God, the Bohoroditsa. And this is Bohoroditsa Divo, recorded in the 1970s. A group of Holy Ghost Byzantine Catholic Church in McKees Rocks Cantors got together and recorded a whole bunch of songs, and they recorded this one. Following that is Mamko Moya Luba, My Loving Mother. Happy Mother's Day to all.
Seba znava komu, ja mam. On the show today, we have a very special guest who needs no introduction, but I'm going to introduce him anyways. He is John Righetti, and he is the president of the Carpatho-Russian Society. John, thank you for returning back to the show after many, many years.
Yeah, you know, it's a pleasure to be back here.
And it's a pleasure to have you. Tell us, John, since you came back to be president of the Carpatho-Russian Society this year, what initiatives have you and the new board been working on?
CRS is a nonprofit organization. And like all nonprofits, both as things were changing, the way businesses were managed, and then, of course, the impact on COVID, all nonprofits had to really say to themselves, how are we going to function in the future to be successful? And things were already kind of bleak for nonprofits. I did nonprofit fundraising consulting for a decade. And I remember telling people how quickly the predictions were that one half of nonprofit organizations in the United States would close sometime in the next decade. And then COVID came, which of course accentuated that even further. So, for me, when I stepped up to be president again, the whole purpose and the whole goal for me was to say, what does CRS have to look like to function and survive in 2022 and further into the future? And that's been pretty much what the focus has been so far. My new board has only been together for a quarter, but we're making really significant progress. And it's because we really have a different mix of people, and we also really think outside the box. One of the blessings that we've had is that we have a CRS member who's been a member for a long time named Bill Tarkalich. And Bill is a business consultant. And he, before I took over, was serving in a strategic planning consulting capacity with a previous board. And we have kept him on and kind of ramped things up. So that the number one thing we've done in the last 4 months as a board is to complete the strategic planning process. And, you know, I've been in administrations in various businesses for many years, and strategic planning is always kind of like an interesting thing. People chuckle about it because on one hand, it really, if you honor it, sets the direction for your organization, not only to survive, but to thrive. But a lot of people do these wonderful strategic planning exercises. They make a great strategic planning document, and they put it up on a shelf, and that's where
it sits. Right.
You know? So you have to have the commitment to implementation as well. And that's a part of what the strength is with Bill, is that Bill's really good at saying, you know, now how are we going to operationalize this? But the board is a very different animal. I've got people, one, it's really very national in scope. And not that in the past it didn't, but, you know, it was a lot of Pittsburghers with a couple people from New Jersey and maybe Youngstown thrown in. Now that board has only two Pittsburghers, myself and one other. There are two from Minneapolis. There's one from Texas. There's one from Wilkes-Barre. I mean, they're from all over the place.
And I think that is a wonderful thing that we have not only Pittsburghers, but as you said, from Minneapolis, from Texas, from Wilkes-Barre and other places. And I think that maybe some of the reason for that is over the last 2 years, since we were all stuck at home, people were Zooming, people were getting online and saying, hey, I can do this online thing and maybe get more of an opportunity to expand their horizons, say, you know, this Zoom isn't that bad at all. Maybe I'll go and be a board member with the Carpatho-Russian Society. Because I know in the past, a lot of people were kind of iffy on technology. But I think the last 2 years, we've really buckled down and said, okay, we got to learn some technology. So it is wonderful that we have a board that is national and is a true national board.
And the technology has really benefited us because it's made us so much more efficient and effective. I mean, I can tell you, you know, almost 30 years ago when we'd have board meetings in Pittsburgh, you know, here's are these people from New Jersey driving 6 and 7 hours.
Right. I remember. Board meeting. Yes, you know, I remember
from Michigan driving, you know, 5-6 hours, you know, and now everybody just sits in their office and connects. And so time is used so much more effectively. And it also gives us the opportunity to have exchange. You know, once upon a time, my lament with email as a communications vehicle was that it was delayed communication. It really wasn't dialogue because I type. And then you have to read it, and then you have to type back. It wasn't instantaneous like it is now. You know, Zoom is like a telephone with pictures. You know? Yep. So, you know, everything can happen right there. You can strategize, you can brainstorm, and it's benefited us immensely. So when I took over in January, the previous board's strategic planning process is well along the way. And our first assessment was, what did we want to keep and what didn't we see there being a value? Once we made that decision, the last four months have been pretty much dedicated to how do we determine the strategic direction of the organization, which we have. What are the projects that we want to work on? What are the goals? And now this month, all the meat will be put on the bones. Who's going to work on what and what are the deadlines for when they'll be completed?
Посадити в коло хижі дуба, ей гой, майдана, коло хижі дуба, ей гой, майдана, коло хижі дуба, дай ми собі посадити, ще й обгородити, та узнали лигіники до нього ходити, ей гой, майдана, до нього ходити. Родила близько лопасульки, та дала мені біле личко й ротику дзозульки. Ей гой, майдана, й ротику дзозульки. Ей гой, майдана, й ротику дзозульки. Моя кішка на бережку, моя кішка крайня. Ходить до нас легіники, бо мені в руку файна. Ей гой, майдана, бо мені в руку файна.
Мамочко, ей так в мамочко.
What can you tell us that we should expect to see within the next year or so from the board of the Carpathia-Rossen Society? What kind of projects will be forthcoming?
Well, you know, one of the things personally that I was always a little bit concerned about as we grew was that we started to become an organization that was really kind of focused on chapter activity. And certainly nothing wrong with it. That's how the grassroots functions.
Right.
But, you know, when we founded CRS almost 30 years ago, CRS was not founded as an organization whose primary question was, what do we do for our members? It was founded kind of like PBS, which was you joined CRS to be a member, not because you got some kind of benefit, but to support the ongoing development of Russo culture. And we're starting to turn that direction again, and people are starting to get it. That now, a part of those goals, of course, is one of CRS's biggest goal is educating Russians and non-Russians about Russian culture. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you can't ask for a better premium for membership than that.
Right.
So it's not like, I want to be very clear, it's not like we're abandoning what kind of support we want and what kind of relationship we want with membership. But we're trying to get everybody on the same page that what we're doing is a loftier goal than just meeting member needs. It's a goal about how can we help to grow and propagate Russian culture. And to do that, needless to say, one of the critical things that has to happen is that there has to be constant contact and interaction with the Russian organizations in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're one of the things that you're going to see is a lot more activity between us. And again, the technology makes this so much easier than it did in the past.
Absolutely.
So you're going to see educational programs that CRS sponsors online that are going to be taught by Russians in Europe,
mm-hmm.
you know, or, you know, one of the things that we're already doing in partnership with the Carpathia-Rusyn Research Center and the TIMO Foundation is providing ongoing support to further develop the Summer Institute of Russian Culture at the University of Prešov, so that, you know, there's going to be constant input of all people from various places where Russians live going there and learning what it means to be Russian and what culture, how Russian culture is defined. And the reality is those people quite honestly then go home and become leadership in their own local Russian communities.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that's beautiful about it is in the early days when the Institute started, I would say to you probably 3/4 of the attendees were Americans. But today, the membership has been international in scope. Every year there's Americans, Serbian citizens, Ukrainian citizens. There are scholarships provided for students to attend, and particularly from those from Ukraine, where, as we all know, the Ukrainian government has not yet recognized its Russian minority. And so, therefore, no financial support is given mm-hmm. currently to Russians in Transcarpathia. Well, the other communities, and especially we in the West, CRS and CRRC, make sure that happens. And, you know, with the technology, I kind of laugh because when I started the Russian Heritage Tours in 1996, to set it up, if I wanted to do something in Lemkowina in Poland, I would have to write a letter, not an email, but like on paper letter, and send it to someone there and wait a minimum of 6 weeks for right. them to get back to me to tell me if I could do it or not. Yep. And now, needless to say, you know, I send an email or a text and, you know, the next morning I have my answer.
That's
right. So we're so much more efficient. We're also so much more sophisticated. I mean, I have to tell you, I'm really, really impressed with the caliber of leadership in the generation that comes after me. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, if you're one of the us early founders who are now people, you know, pretty much in their late 50s to mid 70s, one of the first questions you should always ask yourself is what are we doing in terms of succession planning? Who's going to pick up this mantle after us? And I'm really happy to see that in Europe that's happened. I mean, the heaviest leadership amongst Russians in Poland are people in their 30s.
Right.
You know? And for a long time, we wondered where were those people in Transcarpathia? Well, guess what? Now they exist. And they're online and they're producing videos. And here, even, we have got on this board two people under 35 years of age, which is great. And at the chapter level, you know, we've got a new president in the New York chapter is a young person, a new president in the Washington, D.C. chapter is a young person. And it just does my heart good, because for me, it was always like CRS needed to move on to another president after me. And you know why? Because that's the moment where we found out, was it a real movement or was it a personality cult? Mm-hmm. And what we found out was exactly what I'd hoped, which was that it was a real movement. And so it continued to develop. You've had two presidents since me, and now I'm right. back again. You know, CRS always, always continued to grow. Its membership today is bigger than it was 20 years ago.
Right.
You know? And they're truly, truly from all over the place. So, you know, you once upon a time, you could say that like 50% of all the CRS membership was in the Pittsburgh area. Not today.
Nope.
It's literally all over the place. And it's got chapters and these regional groups in southeastern United States and Texas and the Pacific Northwest. You know, no longer is it just like the Rust Belt communities, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, mm-hmm. Youngstown. You know, it's everywhere where Rusyns are. And we didn't just stay in the Rust Belt. Like everybody else in America, we moved around. You know, and so we've got that idea. And quite honestly, our challenge is bigger because, you know, when we were in Rust Belt communities, we had to convince people that their Russian neighbors weren't Russians, you know. But now it's a clean slate. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, if you're Leanne Erder and the Dallas chapter, you're educating people about a people and a culture that nobody even had a clue existed. People who know nothing about Slavs, let alone Rusyns, you know?
Right.
And in some ways that's better for us because we don't have to undo damage, you know, mm-hmm. like we had to do up here in the Northeast.
Final question for you, John, before we let you go. So what is your suggestion to members of the Carpatho Rusyn Society now that we're slowly emerging out of COVID protocols?
Well, I think COVID taught us some things, and what it taught us was that there is technology at our fingertips that doesn't necessitate face-to-face interaction or person in a room personal interaction. That having been said, just because we don't need it doesn't mean we shouldn't have it. Because mm-hmm. actually we do need it, because it's in that kind of networking that a lot of work gets done. I am, you know, represented the North American Rusyn community for years as their representative to the World Council of Rusyns in Prešov. And as you know, every couple of years it had a World Congress, and some people would get frustrated because at the end of the 3 days, they'd say, well, like, you know, where's the grassroots concrete projects, et cetera? And I would say to them, don't worry about it. The value of this meeting was all of us in the Rusyn think tank getting together and bouncing ideas off of one another. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just something kind of electric about people in a room being together. And so I do encourage those CRS chapters or CRS groups who want to get together again to do so. Mm-hmm. But it's now no longer the only way for us to pull people together and educate people. You know, CRS's education committee was doing really well, and we've given it another shot in the arm. I mean, they're just cranking out educational videos like yep. there's no tomorrow, you mm-hmm. know? And one of the other things that I'm really happy about where we're going is the board evolved from, we need, you know, we have to provide papers and books and meetings, et cetera, for members. And that's evolved to, our job is to educate everybody about Rusyns. So let's do that. Mm-hmm. What vehicles can we create that anybody who wants to know about the Rusyn heritage can actually access? And so a lot of what you're seeing and what you're going to be seeing in terms of educational materials is going to be available pretty much free of charge to anybody who wants to access it.
Thank you very much, John, for taking the time to be on the Carpatho Rusyn Society Heritage Program. We invite you back anytime that you would like to come back. Just let me know.
All right. It'll be great to continue this dialogue. I'm very happy we're really making progress at an incredible speed.
From another land, your father's and mine, they had a plan to stay strong in time.
I think that the GCU is a wonderful place for families to be close together and to have social activities together. There's so many more opportunities for kids that they're trying to bring us all in as families with the bowling, with the basketball.
I joined the GCU because of my wife. 51 years old, I'm a structural engineer. I work for a company that designs and builds broadcast towers. Been married for 28 years, have two children, daughter 21, a son 17. I participate in the National Golf Tournament, the National Bowling Tournament, in some district events. The Figured organization, very family oriented.
GCU for life. GCU for life.
Fraternally yours.
For more information on member benefits such as life insurance, annuities, and Medicare supplement plans that the GCU offers, please give them a call toll free at 1-800-722-4428. You can also check out all of their rates and products online by logging on to their webpage, gcuusa.com, gcuusa.com, or give them a call toll-free at 1-800-722-4428, 1-800-722-4428. Thank you for joining me today on Holosa Rusinyo America, Voice of Rusins in America, the Carpatho Rusyn Society Heritage Program, and Happy Mother's Day once again to all mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, godmothers, and maternal-like figures. Hope you enjoyed our broadcast today and our interview with John Righetti. Join us again next Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 p.m. Central European Time on Rusyn FM, your Rusyn radio station, for another broadcast. Be sure to listen to our archives any time of the day or night. Go to our media page, c-rsmedia.org, c-rsmedia.org, or visit our parent site, the Carpatho Rusyn Society, at c-rs.org, c-rs.org. We'll see you all next Sunday. Happy Mother's Day. Zbohom.
дорога, ту пісню співаю тобі, мамко моя золота, дивіться в моєму житті, за серце твоє золоте, за ніжні руки твої, за ласку, за слово просте, ту пісню співаю тобі, мамко моя дорога, ту пісню співаю тобі, мамко моя золота, дивіться в моєму житті, солодкі пісні ти співала, які це не чула земля, любов'ю мене зогрівала, щаслива усмішка твоя, мамко моя дорога, ту пісню співаю тобі, мамко моя золота, дивіться в моєму житті. Мамко моя дорога, ту пісню співаю тобі, мамко моя золота, дивіться в моєму житті.
Голоси русинів Америка.